Lines into the slot back. Solomon in the hole there. Running backs are split behind Montana. Third and three. He has the ball. Montana rolling out the right. Looking toward the end zone. Throwing under pressure. Throws his pass. Caught by Clark.
Hello, 49er fans, and welcome to the latest edition of the 49ers Paradise Podcast Show. Thank you all once again for tuning in. Before we begin this week's show, I do want to draw your attention to a few things. First is the 49ers Paradise Store. The 49ers Paradise Store is accessible by clicking the store link in the left-hand navigation menu on the main page of 49ers Paradise. From this link, there's a variety of mini-stores within 49ers Paradise, including the 49ers Paradise Fan Store, where you can get merchandise from any sports league or any sports team. If you're looking to buy a present for yourself or someone else, you can help support 49ers Paradise by purchasing via this method very easily and still get the merchandise that you are going to buy anyways. Your support most definitely is appreciated. Of course, there is as well the 49ers Bookstore, 49ers Throwback Store, and a variety of other stores, but I do want to highlight one new feature, and that's the ability to purchase anything on Amazon.com and support 49ers Paradise in the process. Simply use the search box that's available to you from Amazon on the store tab on the main page of 49ers Paradise, and a portion of the proceeds will go to supporting 49ers Paradise. So I do appreciate everyone that supported us to date via these ways, and I do appreciate everybody's support going forward. Definitely, this helps to sustain the site. Every penny goes back into supporting the site, so thank you all very much for that. I do greatly appreciate that you're willing to support the site in those ways. I do also want to welcome any comments and questions about the 49ers or this podcast in general. If you are interested in sponsoring a podcast show and reaching a very targeted audience, or if you just have a question about the 49ers, drop me a line at podcast@49ersparadise.cjb.net. I'll be happy to answer the question on air, or if it's about a sponsorship, work something out that'll help you reach this very targeted audience. Of course, you can also call the show. You can do so by clicking the phone link in the top right-hand corner of the main page of 49ers Paradise. That link will take you to a variety of numbers that provide local calling from throughout the world. Definitely have your take played on the air of the 49ers Paradise podcast show. All that being said, I'm ready to get down to business because it's been a while since we've recorded a show. A lot's happened since April, when the last show did occur, and I'm hoping to become a little bit more regular on the recordings now that the season has kicked off as well. And what a way to kick off the season, but with a win. A beautiful, beautiful win over our division rivals and former Super Bowl contenders, the Arizona Cardinals. Before we get to the game, let's set the stage. We're talking about a preseason where the 49ers lost only one game. Not bad. We're talking about a training camp when the 49ers have openly stated that they are going to be a running, physical, and disciplined football team. And we're talking about a situation where you've got a new coach, and you've got a new quarterback, you've got a new offensive system, and a new defensive system, and it's all got to come together in order for the 49ers to win. Well, the team did pull it out, and I think it was a huge step in the right direction. But I do think that there's still a lot left here to be worked on and built upon, which is actually what you would want from the first game of the season when you think about it. The obvious place to look at first is the 49ers ground game, and for that matter, the 49ers offense. What you'll notice from the ground game is that Frank Gore did not pick up a lot of yards, almost like he wasn't in the game at all, except he was there, pounding away at an offensive line that just wasn't generating the run holes for him. Now, I don't put all of that on the offensive line. In fact, I think parts of the offensive line did a phenomenal job. What I do think it comes down to is the fact that the defense was expecting the 49ers to run hard up the middle over and over and over again. And they run blitzed. And quite frankly, the 49ers didn't change their game plan. They continued to run for most of the game. So I'm not surprised to see that Gore didn't contribute huge yardage on the ground. He wasn't picking up the 5-yard chunks that we're accustomed to. And yet he still had 2 touchdowns, one through the air and one on the ground. So that shows that Frank Gore is a huge part of this offense, whether or not he's picking up yardage in huge chunks. But what perhaps is more interesting is that a 49er team that was said to be a running team could not run the ball. Truly great running teams will tell you they're going to run, you'll know they're going to run, you're going to plan to stop the run, and they're still going to run on you. The 49ers told you they were going to run, they did run, they continued to run, but Arizona managed to stop the run. It wasn't enough for Arizona to win the game, but it does give you a little bit of pause for concern about why the 49ers weren't able to get the run going. They certainly played a physical game, they certainly played a disciplined game, which is what we were hoping for and what the team said they would do, but they weren't able to get the points on the ground. They weren't able to move the ball in chunks on the ground. So when I look at that, I first am going to take a step in front of Gore, and I'm going to look at the fullbacks. And Moran Norris and Michael Robinson did an okay job. Nothing flashy. They picked up the blitz, but the holes were not there for them to lead Gore through. So I'm not going to put this on them. They had an average outing, and a little bit of their hand was squashed based on what the offensive line was faced with. Now, the offensive line, Joe Staley and Eric Heitman in particular, had excellent games. Eric Heitman is really developing into an astute signal caller on the line. He definitely understands the offense and the way the plays are developing. He was a big, big part in making the right call to help get the ball to Gore in the air on the touchdown. And Joe Staley was simply a madman keeping the protection up for Sean Hill for most of the day. So those two really did a good performance. And the rest of the line was more or less average. They came through when the team needed to, particularly on the winning offensive touchdown drive. That was a big, big win. They came through on a few third down conversions as well. That was also a big, big win for them. So the offensive line more or less did their job when you consider they were faced with constant run blitzes. The fullbacks more or less did their job when you consider there wasn't holes in the offensive line. The running back scored 2 touchdowns. There weren't holes. He definitely did his job. So I'm going to take this back and I'm going to say, well, there has to be something else wrong here. And that something else wrong happens to be the play calling. Now, don't get me wrong, I think the 49ers called a much better game and coached a much better game than a lot of what we saw last year. And Jimmy Ray certainly is bringing brutality to the 49ers offense, which has been lacking and which seems, so far at least, to be working for the team. But, and this is a really huge caveat, when you're running 30 times into an offensive line, your own offensive line, and falling flat and not moving the ball, you need to find a way to get the offense going. And if that means doing something to soften up the run or doing something to open up the game in the pass game, you need to be able to do it. And the 49ers did do it for one drive that won them the game, but this game shouldn't have come down to that drive. The offense should have been clicking well before that drive. And I expect that going into Seattle next week, we're going to have to see some changes from the offense, from the play calling in particular. If the run blitz is stopping the 49ers run, and I fully, fully expect Seattle to come hard with the run blitz because, heck, it worked so well against Gore, and it's reasonable to say that they can put up enough points, I would expect to see a lot of that run blitz. So how do you counter it? Well, you counter it with screens against the blitz, you counter it with quick slants, and you counter it with short passes. That means putting the ball in Sean Hill's hand and telling him, go win this game. Go play this game. Once that softens up the defense a little bit, once you stop seeing the box stacked 8 men, or at the very least, seeing the run blitz being stopped, then you can start pounding and opening up the holes. And from there, once a run blitz starts coming, you start going to the play action, and it's ball game over. All that can be accomplished with the 49ers personnel and can be accomplished with the reputation they're building. So I'm quite confident that going into next week, the 49ers are going to have a little bit more ingenuity on the offense to get the running game going. Because Frank Gore can't be asked to run for 30 yards a game, score two touchdowns, and the 49ers can't expect that to be how they win. What they can expect is to find ways to get the ground game going to open up the rest of the offense. And sometimes that will mean going to the pass. Because as I said before, great running teams will run on you no matter what you're doing. That means they know how to set up the run as well. I'm going to expand the view of the offense and take it a little bit outside to Sean Hill. And Sean Hill had a more or less good performance from an NFL quarterback. He didn't put up huge numbers. He didn't put up horrible numbers. He did what he had to do to win the game. He led a fantastic drive in the game to win it. And he took control of the huddle to get the team on board before that drive. Those are all things you want from a good quarterback. Sean Hill had those things. He also had his share of mental breakdowns. He also had his share of underthrown balls, and he also had his share of his arm is still not strong enough. So yeah, you can complete a 50-yard bomb to Isaac Bruce in the air, and the thing looked pretty, but you can't wind up around the world to get there. You can try and muscle a pass into Vernon Davis in triple coverage, but you better have the arm to put it in there. You can also throw balls to receivers and complete passes, but if you want the yards after the catch, you have to put the ball specifically in a place where the receiver can catch it and make a play on it. That's where Sean Hill has to take his game, and the windup is one thing that I think is going to get him into trouble. I think Sean Hill had a good, maybe above average performance, nothing really more than that, nothing really less than that, but if he's going to keep that windup going, he's really going to have to get the protection from the offensive line, because when that arm gets hit as he's throwing, first of all, you're going to see a fumble, as we did this past weekend, which almost resulted in a touchdown, if not for a interesting official call. You're also going to see him injure his shoulder if he gets hit throwing the ball like that. Sean Hill either has to change his release or get the protection, because that is a recipe for trouble. Now, when people say a strong arm, and they say, oh, he threw 50 yards down to Bruce, well, yeah, he did that. And that does show he can make throws in the NFL. The problem is that when he's throwing an out and the ball isn't in the right place, or when he can't beat the coverage to a receiver because the ball takes too long to get there. Sean Hill is developing, but he is still developing. He's not the best quarterback on the field every single game, and quite frankly, I think the 49ers have come to terms with that. That's okay. They can win with Hill, as we saw in this game, and they can continue to look for a quarterback, maybe even Nate Davis, maybe even Alex Smith, who will eventually have the tools in his belt to take the team to that next level. Sean Hill, in the meantime, needs to get the protection and the help from the rest of the offense, and of course, a strong defensive performance. Not to take away from a fantastic drive that he put together, Sean Hill had a good game. Moving out to the receivers, they did an admirable job. Josh Morgan drew coverage his way, which is something we hadn't seen in quite some time. Isaac Bruce, of course, contributed with his long catch, as well as a couple others. And Arnaz Battle came through in the clutch with a few first downs and a wide receiver screen, something I haven't seen the 49ers execute properly in probably 6 years. This preseason aside, Arnaz Battle managed to make it work for the team. That's a hats off to the entire offense, the downfield blocking of the receivers, and Sean Hill's ability to get Battle the ball properly. So, pretty much a good performance from the offense, a lot to build on. If they can work out the play calling to get the run game going, this offense can be a lot more explosive. I do want to comment on Vernon Davis in particular, although Delanie Walker was in the game too. He didn't have much of a game to really speak of. I do want to put a small caveat in here to Vernon. Hats off. He played like a captain of the offense should. He caught the balls that came his way. He did what I was hoping he would do when he came into this team, and that's play at a level where he is making plays. And that means catching the ball, not just blocking, though he did an excellent job on the blocking game too. So what's changed? Well, for starters, the ball's coming his way. What else has changed? Well, Vernon Davis isn't being asked to catch a seam or an out pattern 40 yards down the field. His body isn't meant for that type of thing, and he's not an amazing receiver. That's not the type of play he should be making. He should be making the plays in the flat where the ball is catchable, he's square to the ball, and there's an opportunity for yards after the catch. Sean Hill has to learn to put the ball in the right place to make that happen. Now on to the defense. The defense had a fantastic, fantastic game. I don't know if it's a tell that Arizona had the penalties that they did, or if they just weren't ready to play on offense to the extent that they did, but the defensive backfield, the defensive line, and the linebackers all came to play. I want to give major snaps to Patrick Willis. The guy is really, really an awesome linebacker, and he continues to show that week in, week out. There were times in this game when he was the only linebacker on the field because the 49ers went to a 4-1-6, and not the area code, but rather four down linemen, Patrick Willis, and six defensive backs. It worked well against the explosive attack from the Cardinals. You saw a lot of underneath passes, a lot of yards gained underneath, and it amounted to the 49ers completely controlling the defensive game. The third quarter was about the only exception to that, and Mike Singletary managed to gather his troops. He used a timeout in a way that is foreign to the NFL, and managed to get the team back on page, hold the Cardinals to a field goal, and put the 49ers in a position to win the game. That was great coaching. That is the type of thing you expect from a coach who really knows what they're doing, really knows he has the players on board, and really knows how to handle a game and game management. So hats off to Mike Singletary for calling that timeout and making that happen. Beyond Patrick Willis, I have to give snaps to Manny Lawson, Paris Harrelson, Justin Smith, and Ray McDonald. They were, hands down, a solid, solid tag team across the defensive line. Now, I want to particularly draw interest on Paris Harrelson in the first half and Justin Smith in the second half, because the first half, Harrelson tormented Kirk Warner, and the second half, it was all Justin Smith, and Justin Smith essentially won that game for the 49ers. He came up big on fourth down against Warner, flushing him out of the pocket into an incomplete pass, which gave the 49ers the ball back, and at the end of the game, he was the one who got the sack and forced fumble to put the icing on the cake. This was a fantastic performance from a defensive front that we haven't seen in a long time. The rest of the linebacking group, other than Willis, did have good performances, and Manny Lawson was mainly up on the defensive line. Spikes also had a good game, but he wasn't in there as much because the 49ers were going heavy on defensive back quite a bit. The defensive backfield, Dre Bly, Shante Spencer, and Nate Clements just had a fantastic day. Hats off to the rest of the defensive backfield, too. The defense looked awesome. That was the type of defense that you want to see every single week, just beat up on the opposing offense. It was a good game. It was a really good game to watch, and it's been a while since I've seen football that was that physical. Some of the players have already commented today on Twitter or Facebook or what have you about how physical and how beat up their bodies feel from that game, and I understand that. It was a tough, tough game. Bill Walsh once hung a sign in the 49ers locker room. That sign said, "I will not be out-hit at any point this season," and the players signed that sign. The 49ers are a physical football team. They have always had to have been a physical football team to win. Yes, they had the finesse West Coast offense, but if you're not physical, if you get out-hit, you cannot win in the NFL. And the physical play and the brutal play has finally come back, and you can see it on the field. That was not an easy game to play in, but the 49ers pulled up their pants and did what they had to do. It was really something to watch. There was just a whole different level of emotion and intensity that I have seen from this team in a very, very long time. I want to give props, of course, to Mike Singletary for putting that together. No, it wasn't the perfect game. No, it wasn't that there are no areas left to improve in. But Singletary rallied his troops, put together a team that can win, and really got everybody on the same page in a way that we haven't seen in a long time in San Francisco. So, I want to say that Mike Singletary definitely deserves a game ball for his first win as a official head coach of the 49ers in his first official season with the team. I think he did a great job of getting that to happen. And I think that type of physical play is where the 49ers are going to start wearing down opponents late into the game. Now, whether or not this game truly tells us more about Arizona or more about San Francisco is yet to be determined. But I do think that the 49ers have produced a blueprint that's going to hurt the Cardinals throughout the rest of the season. And I do think that both the 49ers are going to be able to build on this as well as look back on this as a game where they can really say, we beat a team. We have a measuring stick. We beat a team that was in the Super Bowl last year. And yes, that was last year. And not this year. But the 49ers came out and beat the NFC champions. That's something. I think that's something. Team's now 1-0 heading into a game against Seattle, another division rival, and a chance for the 49ers to move up on the entire division. If the team walks away 2-0, it's going to be a heck of a start to the season. 49er fans, thank you all once again for tuning in. Please send your questions and comments to podcast@49ersparadise.cjb.net. In the meantime, be sure to check out 49ers Paradise all day, every day. It's updated constantly. A few more changes in the works and up my sleeves, and we're working to provide the best possible 49ers site out there. To all the staff and fans who have been with us, and to all the subscribers who've, you know, grunted out a year and helped make this site sustainable, I really want to thank you. Thank you genuinely to the staff, to the subscribers, to the members, and to the regular readers of the site who've made this all possible. Keep on coming, and let's hope for a long and prosperous, sustainable future for 49ers Paradise. That's all for this time. Take care, and have fun.
The 49ers had only just begun.